Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
Good morning. Happy Tuesday. Back to school for the kiddos. Back to routine for everyone. It's Jesse Rubinoff and Ailish this morning. And for the rest of this week, Justin's away. We're basking in the excitement of, I feel an excitement on this day because it's like a routine getting back in. People are going to work. Sports are happening soon. Like, other than baseball. And the kids are getting ready for school. It's a nice feeling.
I thought you were going to say it because it's 40 degrees outside.
Okay, well, that threw a curveball for me.
Like, it's literally, I think, supposed to be the hottest day of the year today.
I don't know.
People are like, oh, summer's
a little concerned.
Summer's over. Summer ain't over.
There's some places that turn their, like, air conditioning off.
Yeah.
Luckily, I haven't gotten a message, but luckily this building I live in isn't like that, where they're like, okay, quick, season's changed, summer's
over.
It's
nice in here, too. It's nice in this studio.
Yeah, it's on the lowest possible. But yeah, it's supposed to be up in the almost a 40-degree range
that's
today.
Yeah, that's absurd. It doesn't make any sense. What's the date today? The 5th?
The 5th of September. Right after Labor Day, a long weekend, people are packing up their cottages, saying goodbye to summer. It's going to be the hottest day of the year. So plan accordingly.
Yeah, okay.
But back to school, it's like the kids were probably laying out their new outfits, you know, getting your jeans and your sweater. And then mom and dad are like, hey, you need to get your t-shirt and shorts from the bin under the bed because it's going to be sweaty today. So all the outfits might be out the window.
Were you excited as a kid for the first day or nervous or
I was
both?
So excited. I love school. I did like extra university because I wanted to do another degree.
I just loved school. They get these butterflies on the first day of school. It's like only natural.
First
day of work or something like that. Whenever you're doing the first of anything, there's nerves involved.
I was certainly nervous, but I remember specifically like the lead up to it where you go to like Walmart and you get all your new school supplies, which are a racket these days. I went through the other day. I think I had to get stuff I was up at my camp this
weekend. What isn't a racket these days?
Okay, but you want to go buy pencils and pencil crayons. It's not, you got to go to Dollarama, but it's not cheap. Like we used to go, you get your new backpack, your new lunchbox, you get your stationery. This is like elementary school. And you get so excited to like pick what yours is going to be this year. And then I was always the first pick up on the school bus. So I'd be the first one on. You pick your spot for the year. Like, where are you going to sit? And then your friends come on. It's so exciting. Like, I'm excited thinking about it. So I hope people are enjoying that.
Where was your spot on the bus? I feel like that's a big life decision. I wouldn't take the full back
because, like, that's for the older kids.
Right.
But, like, closer to the back, always on the right side. I can picture it on the right side by the window.
You can't go anywhere near the front. That's, like, for teachers or the guidance counselors or whatever.
Definitely. But I'd be the first pickup, so I'd be waiting. My friends would come on. I'm like, oh, my God, Brianna! Yeah. And then the last pickup, but at the end of the day, the last drop-off, so you're, like, waiting. Like, hurry up. I want to get home. But it's exciting. I love back to school. I hope everyone's getting ready. New routines. Text in 59590. Is it still like as exciting for the kids? Is it different? Do they just have their iPods and iPads and they're just like, whatever, mom. I'm just going to like stream Love is Blind on the bus.
I do think it probably is different. Like if you don't want to talk to anybody on the bus, like you don't have to talk to
anybody.
You're
just on TikTok?
You're just on your phone.
Make friends.
I mean, I struggle with that sometimes too. Like I'll be in a public place. I'm like, I just kind of want to sit on my phone and play games or go on Twitter or whatever. Like that's kind of we're conditioned to do that now, which is kind of sad. But yeah, I'm with you. Like make friends.
I hope there's like a rule on the bus where they're like, it's a tech free zone. Yeah, right. Good luck policing that.
So the best place on earth for me growing up was summer camp because there was no service. Like you can get service like in the middle of the ocean these days, but you couldn't get service.
You can now get it on the TTC.
Camp.
Shout out Rogers.
Yes, nice. But you could never. And I still to this day I don't think you can get service at that camp.
Oh, that's good.
Which is awesome for kids. Like it's you just
that's what you
builds
need.
Character, Ailish. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I was just up north at our camp this weekend for Labor Day, and I was telling you it's a hike. Where you got to go past Sudbury another hour or two into the wilderness. Then you take a dirt road for 30 minutes off into the woods.
And you drive back in 6 hours of traffic.
And you lose service. And it's such a nice, I'm just like, I put my phone in the trunk and I'm like, whatever. Like, I just, who cares? It's just really nice to get off the grid. So I'm being a hypocrite now because I'm like, get back into tech, like Blue Jays streaming this. I was on the drive home, sitting on the 400, literally watching the Blue Jays game. I'm like, okay, you know, I'm back on the grid, but sometimes that's nice. So hope the kiddos balance that.
Yeah,
Being a parent at this age, like with TikTok and kids being into tech, It might be a little harder than when my parents had it. I had a Tamagotchi. I was like my tech world.
I love Tamagotchis.
I would literally use one right now if somebody gave me one.
You were so irresponsible for later Tamagotchis. Yeah.
It was fine,
so
right?
I guess you're irresponsible.
You just reset it.
Yeah. I love Tamagotchi. Do you ever get, like, if you put your phone away or down or whatever and you're not using it for a little bit of time, you ever get, like, the phantom buzzes?
It's like, pick me up.
Yeah.
You haven't touched me in a while. You're like, what's that notification?
My pocket buzzes and there's nothing in there. I might just be, you know.
You gotta check that out.
Have issues.
Go to check your doctor out. See if your circulation's going well. Goodness gracious. Anyway, 590, 590. I hope people are getting back into a routine. I know we have some listeners that take some time in the summer where they're not up at 6. I don't blame you.
Makes a lot
of
sense.
We'll have some of our regular folk back. So we can always say hi. Jesse Rubinoff and I, as I mentioned, back here for the rest of this week. We had an exciting, exciting weekend. I know it's not Monday, but it's our first time back from the weekend. Mm-hmm. Mine, you were on yesterday because you're a grinder. But it's my first time back. And this weekend, I mean, for me, was so special with Canada basketball. Seeing what they were able to accomplish. First of all, the game itself was a really incredible basketball game. But big picture, going into it, knowing that you have a chance to go to the Olympics if you win this game. FIBA is one goal. The Olympics is another, as Shay and everyone has said. Like, you kind of are battling two big hurdles at once in this tournament. But to see them achieve something, it's like I'm trying to compare. I mean, we have a lot of great Canadian pride with, Canada soccer won a gold medal. Both teams went to the FIBA World Cup. We don't need to talk much past that because soccer is in a bit of a place of turmoil at times, but obviously hockey, as a hockey player myself, so much pride in Team Canada. But what Canada basketball has done and has been trying to do for the last 20 whatever years, it just felt really, really special. And I hope people that maybe weren't so dialed in on Canada basketball, like, you know, admittedly at times, oh, they're playing, whatever. Mm-hmm. But now it feels like this country is really going to start to learn about these superstars, and I hope so, and follow the rest of this tournament, which is important. We'll get into that. But Paris Olympics next year, that's the world stage, and our Canadian boys are going to be there. So I'm really proud. It was so awesome to watch. We're going to have two pretty important guests to talk about that as well. Rowan Barrett Sr. At 7:30, who's obviously general manager of Canadian men's basketball team, mm-hmm. father of RJ, and then Carl English at 8:30. And they both had really important roles in getting Canada basketball to this point. But I don't know, like, your viewing experience, seeing this, like, it's really special.
Yeah, well, yesterday on Sportsnet Today, we spoke to Paul Jones, a longtime Raptors broadcaster and member of Canada basketball. And he said, you know, I was watching and I had tears in my eyes. And I thought about all the heartbreak along the way and all the blood, sweat, and tears that people have poured into this program over the years. There have been, now there's the high-end talent, right? Now we can see the Shays doing
superstars.
What they're doing. Superstars in the NBA. But for a really long time, there were many grinders who tried their very best to get Canada back to the Olympics, and there was a lot of last-chance qualifier games where things didn't work out.
Oh, the heartbreak. And I thought we were getting there Sunday. Or Sunday, right?
It was under 4 minutes left, and they were down seven. I was like, there's absolutely no chance of winning this
Canada
game.
Canada basketball again. But they changed the narrative.
They changed the narrative, and you can't help but feel happy and proud of those people that put in so much effort. And I think there's a renewed commitment with this group, right? And we'll ask Rowan about the summer core and the 3-year commitment that these guys made. And that's what it takes at the international level to have success, right? Because these teams that you're playing are really, really good. Mm-hmm. They're really good. Like, you look at Spain and some of these teams, these programs play together all year round, a lot of them. And it's just, you finally get to see everything pay off for Canada because it has been a very long slog at times, but finally they're able to get there. It was awesome.
Yeah, you see someone like Kelly Olynyk, who he's been a longtime member of this team. There's just so much emotion, and you're right. Like, right away you look around and there's so much young talent and they get it, but they don't, they haven't put all of the muscle in that someone from 10, 20 years ago who has not seen the flowers at this point get. So it is nice to look at this and say, this is on the backs of many, many people
totally.
That have gotten Canada basketball into the area where it's in grasp. And I mean, there's just the momentum, as you mentioned, the buy-in. It feels like we could just be seeing the start of, not a dynasty, like that's the wrong word, but of a change of culture and a change of expectations. Like, it isn't just hey, go and have a good showing. It's like, let's win things. Let's medal. Let's make this more than just appearing.
Excellent point.
That's what we want from Canada soccer, right? It's not just like, let's appear at the World Cup. Let's win some games. Let's put the world on notice. I think Canada basketball is closer to being able to do that. We just saw them take down some powerhouses, whether it was always within grasp or not. But they showed this fight. They showed this resiliency. And it's been really inspiring to watch. And I hope that the other Canadian programs, I keep saying Canada soccer, but that's tight on my mind. Mm-hmm. We just watched the FIFA World Cup. We see what's going on with that organization. And they've been up in a lot of drama. But this buy-in with Canada basketball might be the thing that changes. And yeah, Rowan Bear Sr. Is a huge role of that, right? And like, they made that buy-in. But now I start thinking about, what about the players that didn't come to this tournament? How are they feeling? Not just feeling, but how is that going to work for Olympic qualifying? Like, are you going to say, you know, the people that were injured is one thing, but there were some individuals that decided not to play, right? Are they going to get an opportunity? I wonder, right? And I hope that everybody does, and you want the best team there. There's a lot of faces that aren't on this roster that will make this team better, but it's going to be sticky because they made this buy-in, right? And then you're just going to, oh, yeah, you can come. Yeah, do you think about that?
Yeah, it's an interesting point. I do think, at the end of the day, that the talent is probably going to win out, and there's going to be preparations for the Olympics when it comes.
I hope this opens a lot of eyes. Like, right. I want to be a part of this.
Yeah. So I think people who probably, you know, Canadian players like Andrew Wiggins and Jamal Murray and guys like that who watch this probably said, hey, like, this is something that moving forward I want to be a part of. They both have in the past been a part of the program at different points. And I think there's an obligation now if you're going to be a serious basketball country, which Canada clearly is. Like, I don't think there's a team at the FIBA World Cup that they can't beat. You need to have the best team. You need to put your best foot forward. Yeah. And if you have the opportunity to win a gold medal at the Olympics, I think there is an obligation there to do your very best to put the best. Like, there's no room for spite or, you know, saying you didn't help us at FIBA, so you can't come here. It's what's going to give us the best chance to medal at the Olympics, because it took 23 years to get back.
Yeah.
Like, let's make sure we make
that. That's the momentum part that I really hope that these other players and young players that are now thinking about getting in the program, like, there's, you know, there's a wave of Canada basketball still to come. And you might be a high schooler or someone that's going to university right now thinking, I want to get in this program early, because this is now where the superstars play. You just saw Shea take over a game, completely flip the script. They were, it felt like they were out of reach. And then you forget that, oh, Shea can just absolutely dominate this stretch and win this basketball game for us. And maybe you're not going to be a Shea, but look at the narrative. Like, I've been really inspired, and I need to like humble myself about Dylan Brooks, because Dylan Brooks has been, obviously, he's had points of contention. And during the stretch of the NBA at the very end there, we have the wake and rake every morning. And we used to be like, Dylan Brooks under. And we were like, kind of like, you know, the guy just, there was something about him. And we all know that.
He
pokes bears. And we had this thing with Dylan Brooks under. And obviously him and LeBron, and just the way he carried himself. Like, I was a little bit on the, maybe the bandwagon of people being like, wow, Dylan Brooks. But man, he has completely won me over, and he's the perfect type of player where you want him on your team. Like, I've played with people like this before where you're like, God, if I was against this guy, I'd want to punch him, right? But the way he plays, he's so ferocious, and he was dominant on both sides of the ball. They would not have won this game without Dylan Brooks. They would not have won many of the other games without Dylan Brooks. I think not that he needs a revenge tour or a narrative tour, but I think people are understanding why Dylan Brooks is a huge part of this Canadian national team. And whether you loved him or you hated him or you liked to poke fun at Dylan Brooks and everything he did last year, I mean, I'm happy as hell to have him on this team.
Yeah, people were like, this guy's going to play in China. Like, he's done.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, and I mean, it kind of felt like that when they're like, oh, you're no longer part of our team.
Totally.
There's no spot for you.
Totally. And I think the off-court stuff sort of overshadowed what Dylan Brooks can be as a basketball player. And you mentioned, like, yesterday or 2 days ago, they don't win that game without him. And especially late, he was an absolute animal. Like, huge game-tying three. Defensive stop at the other end leads to the Shea bucket, and it's gravy from there. Like, this is what Dylan Brooks can be when he asserts himself in the right ways. I mean, he's battled foul trouble at times because, you know, he's a tendency to get maybe ultra-aggressive or over-aggressive. But this is who he is. He's not the greatest shooter in the world, but he can come up with a shot when you need it. And he certainly is one of the better defenders in the entire tournament. Like, not just Canada, in the entire tournament. And that, going in, was expected to be a massive strength for Canada, and it has turned out that way. Dylan Brooks, Lou Dort, the whole team, really. They have been exceptional defensively, and Dylan Brooks has been a huge reason why.
So, looking forward, I mean, it almost feels like there's...
Go win it.
This, yeah, there's this weight off the shoulders, and I know when you're in a tournament like this, your focus is winning the tournament. But the players even mentioned to themselves that there's two goals, right? There's winning the tournament and there's clinching an opportunity to be at the Paris Olympics. And you've got one. It's like you can almost take a deep breath and say, that's in the bag. Like, there's no taking that back from us. So what's at stake is winning this basketball tournament. And right now, I think there's not many other teams with the momentum that Canada would have. You take down Spain, multiple deficits in that game. I think there was multiple double-digit deficits
in this
game. Yeah, down
12 going into the fourth.
The number one ranked team in FIBA you take down, and whether you care about FIBA rankings or not, I mean, the United States loom. But now you've set yourself up where you don't have to play them in the semis. Like, you could play them in the final. So I just feel like it would be, oh, God, stunning.
Yeah, give it to us.
But you look at the pathway that Canada's had to go. Like, they had three, and like, I'm using air quotes, easier games in the round robin. Yeah, or the early stage, but there was also things they had to learn from that slow starts. They had to figure out how to like turn it on. Yep. Jordy Fernandez has certainly earned the respect of a lot of people for his ability to stop the bleeding almost, to get this team going in the second half. And then you've had to win from behind. You've had to hold a lead and you've had to rely on your superstars like Shea to turn it on in the final, I don't know, 17 points. He scored or assisted on Canada's final 17 points in that game. Like, I mean, they don't win it without him either. But then you've also have to rely on depth at times. So if you look at the way that Canada has got to this point in this tournament, I feel so confident that they have the most momentum and maybe they've learned the most about their team in this run, right? Like, they really feel like a team.
Yeah. It doesn't feel like it can go one of two ways. Like, you can say, we accomplished sort of what we needed to do. And
well, that's the flip side.
You could say, we're in the Olympics now, and you don't really approach it with the same level of urgency. That's, I think, naturally, like just human instinct, that's a possibility. But then, to your point, the other way of looking at it is say, all right, the pressure's off. Like,
why
let's go cook. Like, let's do this. And at this tournament, they have beaten France, who is a top five program. They beat Spain, you mentioned, the number one FIBA team. The U.S. just lost to Lithuania. Slovenia got the brakes beaten off them by Germany. Like, there isn't really a team that you look at, including the Americans, that you say Canada can't beat them. So I think when you're Jordy Fernandez and you go into the locker room and you make that clear, you say, we have the ability here to win a gold medal at the FIBA World Cup. You better not be taking this lightly. This is a massive opportunity for this country. You guys can be and are the best team here. Let's go win it. I think that's how you do it. That's how you motivate them. And I expect them to come up huge against Slovenia. Yeah, you're going to have to deal with Luka Doncic, which is not the easiest thing in the world. But take a page out of Germany's book and smother them.
For some reason, I feel really confident in like the makeup of this team. That, and I'm obviously hoping this is the way it goes. So maybe I'm trying to manifest it. That they don't see this as a stopping point. Because they had to fight tooth and nail in that game against Spain. And it was in grasp that this was going to be another devastating, heartbreaking, Canada basketball blows it again. But the way that they didn't allow that narrative to cloud their game, like they turned it on when it mattered, and it wasn't pretty, but they won a game. Like, I feel like the makeup of this team, led by veterans who have been there, like Cody Olynyk has been there. There's a couple guys that have put the work in who are not like going to be the superstars on the court, but there's, you never can overstate how important and a leader is in these moments. And I'm sure that was important in the locker room. There's times where Kelly Olynyk was put back out on the court, whether it was just, okay, this guy is pretty stable, but in a sense, like, he can lead these young guys. And then there's young guys like, A, trying to make a name for themselves, and B, they're kind of playing like fearlessly, right? They don't have the last decade or two decades of, oh my God, pressure. Like, we can't blow this again. It's like, I'm making either my debut or I'm now the face of Canada basketball and I want to rewrite this narrative. So it feels to me, and Jordy Fernandez has been great too. Like, maybe not that it was Nick Nurse's fault, but maybe just a fresh face has helped this team like reinvigorate what their strategy is, who they're led by. And so all of this is just giving me a lot of faith that this team is different.
Jordy Fernandez, this story is crazy. Like, 2 months ago, he assumed the role. It feels like he's been here for 5 years.
Ahead of you. And you're just like, oh, whatever.
Yeah, he just come in and done just such a remarkable job. And think about the win against Spain, what that must have meant to him being Spanish.
That was so fun.
His former boss, Sergio Scariolo, was on the other side.
They're going head to head. They know each other's game plan. It was
crazy. And I do think, too, just based on watching his demeanor throughout this tournament, I don't think he's satisfied. He doesn't strike me as a guy that would be okay, we're in the Olympics. Let's take our foot off the gas a little bit. No, this guy is intense. After the loss to Brazil, he went out to a press conference and shredded his team.
Yeah.
They played four games, and he shredded them after one bad game.
Yeah.
And his intensity and his demeanor, I think, lends itself very well to this team. I think he's going to have them ready to go against Slovenia. And just a remarkable job by him in literally 8 weeks of being the head coach for this program. And look what they've been able to accomplish here.
And maybe it's also he doesn't hold all the weight, too, right? He's trying to prove himself. He was in running for the Raptors head coach job. And we've heard a lot of good press about him, and now he's getting the world stage to deliver it.
Doesn't seem like it's gonna be very long before he's on an NBA sideline as head coach.
Tongue-in-cheek asked, I forget which guest it was, maybe Sherman Hamilton, who we had in studio, a Raptor's gonna regret this, and he's like, no, but I'm like,
never know.
Wait, what even happened with the lawsuit that just went away?
I was talking about that with buddies after the game. I was like, maybe Darko gets
something
down the pipeline. He gets suspended for the entire year.
That
Jordy Fernandez
stuff?
Comes in. I mean, hopefully that doesn't happen.
It blew up, and Justin and I were on Fan Drive Time when it happened. And I
listened to that show. I remember.
Forget who we were interviewing. Was it Grange? Oh, got it. Raptors person for sure. Mm-hmm. And we were like, oh my God, what an embarrassment. Darko and whoever it was like, no, this has no backbone. I'm like, oh.
I remember
fired
that.
We came like a hot take. Justin goes, he's never going to coach a game for the Raptors. And I was like, they're going to burn this city down. And then whoever, I'm going to remember who our guest was just like, you guys need to pump the brakes. And I was like, maybe we just got a little excited. But
I remember listening to that opening block. And I was like, wow, they're coming really hard Coach Darko here.
We were fired up.
Yeah, that's great.
But anyway, we got humbled a bit. But that's okay. I don't really want the Raptors to go through turmoil to start the season where they're getting sued and lawsuits from there's a mole in the organization. Anyway, we figured it out. We haven't figured it out, actually.
We don't know what's happening.
There's still the way this could go. But Jordy Fernandez certainly done a great job at giving us some comfort and maybe a backup option one day. Okay, so Canada will be back in action. This is tomorrow, taking on Slovenia in the quarterfinals. That's at 8:30 a.m. on Sportsnet. So we'll just catch the tail end of our show. Mm-hmm. We'll overlap. We'll have pregame coverage at 8. Danielle Michaud, Sherman Hamilton, Michael Grange have been doing a great job. They'll be on at 8 a.m. We have obviously the exclusive coverage of the FIBA World Cup quarterfinal. So right now, if you're up, you're getting kids ready, you can put on Lithuania and Serbia. Right now, Serbia's cooking them 83-62 at the end of the fourth. So you can catch into that. I mean,
surprising.
Kind of feel like I know.
Considering what Lithuania did to the States.
And maybe they're tired.
Yeah.
You leave it all out there.
A lot of good teams.
It's
really
interesting.
Really an international game.
Yeah, and it's such a different type of basketball. And you're seeing, that guy.
Yeah.
And some people really perform at the FIBA World Cup in a different light. Where were you last season? Nonetheless, they're on right now. But then after this, you can watch Team USA look to punch their ticket in the semifinals against Italy. They have a little bit of a redemption game that they need to have. I don't feel like the United States will take two games off in a row. But nonetheless, it's a big one ahead. Canada has an opportunity to really make something special here. Slovenia tomorrow, 8:30 a.m.,
Can't wait.
Woo! Yeah, we'll definitely tee that up throughout the show. And then we'll have, as we mentioned, some really great guests to chat about what this moment means to them, what this moment meant to Canada basketball, all the people that put the hard work in to get here. Rowan Barrett Sr. at 7:30. He played for Canada at the 2000 Olympics, of course. So now his son is going to put on the same jersey.
Ridiculous.
Maybe a little bit of a modernized version of it. I mean, right. We like throwbacks, but we can maybe get, we need to get the merch going for Canada at the Paris Olympics. The sponsors need to get jerseys available to purchase. That's at 7:30. And then Carl English, so he was part of the men's basketball team who tried many times to get Canada to qualify for the Olympics as far back as 2000. And so, he's part of this building block, right? I'm sure there's a lot of pride we're going to hear on their show today. We'll also have Alana Rizzo on at 7 a.m., Coast of High Heat on MLB Network. We'll get through some full perspective of this weekend. We'll get into Jays in a minute, but kind of a favorable scoreboard watching weekend if you're a Jays fan. Mm-hmm. And then Jeff Blair at 8 o'clock to help us with a more Jays perspective. That's our rundown for today. But Blue Jays long weekend. It's funny, I like left on Friday after the show and I was like, oh, Blue Jays are never going to make the playoffs. They're 3.5 games back at that point. Very, very different spot today. Just half a game back of Texas. That's how things can change. We can all, you got to have a take ready for one thing and you come back to civilization. You're like, okay, we're good. Let me catch up on what the hell happened with the Blue Jays. But just a half game back behind Texas for the third and final wild card spot in the AL. Rangers have one game on Toronto, but they both have 76 wins. Man, this Rangers series next week, I've already looked at getting down there as much as I can. Four games at home. Super Bowl starting. Yeah, Monday to Thursday, and then you have Monday night football and Thursday night football to compete with. So, I mean, I got to try to go to Tuesday, Wednesday back-to-back games. Like, these are must win. Like, you kind of control the destiny of your Blue Jays franchise if you're playing very meaningful games against the Rangers this week. But you take two or three from the Rockies. It was not pretty at times. The Rockies were in every game. That made me a little uneasy.
They stink.
They are not a good bit. They're a little better than Oakland, but Oakland pushing the Blue Jays to extra innings. And I thought, are we going to kick this thing off with a loss to the Oakland Athletics? First of all, I'm also listening on the radio yesterday in the car, and it's like a little league game. You're like, beer over here, beer over here. I'm like, is there fans? And then I stream and I'm like, there's nobody there. That's why I'm hearing the beer guy through the radio broadcast.
I said the same thing about the Rockies atmosphere too. And there were a lot of people at the Rockies game too, which didn't really make any sense. Like, I was hearing the Blue Jays fans all over the place. Like, the atmosphere in Colorado and the atmosphere in Oakland, obviously.
Must be hard to play at.
Oh.
And no wonder the team isn't doing well.
No, it's just...
It's like a double-edged sword. You're not doing well, nobody comes, but you're also not doing well because you're like, this is pathetic.
Yeah. I mean, they don't deserve fans you're losing that many games. But yeah, I mean, why do the Blue Jays... Why do they allow their opponent to be in every single game? It is exhausting, Ailish. It is so difficult watching this team riding the roller coaster of emotions that exists. Like, there's just win an easy game. They don't happen.
These are the ones
who
are supposed to be winning easy too.
You know, so you can get rattled about the fact that they are allowing opponents that are vastly inferior, or you would think vastly inferior to them, to hang around. But at the end of the day, on the other side of the coin, a win is a win, and they have needed all of these wins that they've gotten against, the A's and the Rockies and the Nationals previously, because they're in tough here. Like, this is not going to be easy. Mm-hmm. The Rangers are collapsing in front of our eyes at this moment.
Like, if they had just played 500 baseball or more, we would be writing off, I think, the Blue Jays' opportunity at a wild card spot. But it's like they are giving you so much of a chance right now.
Handing it to you.
And you have to grasp it, because in sports, like, you can control your own game, your own destiny. You keep your eyes on your own page. But you got to look at what the Rangers are doing and say, we need to win as many as we can before we play the series, because they're literally blowing it.
Yeah. They're 4-13 in the last 17 games. Like, the whole second half has not been pretty. And they, like, look, the Mariners had a 2.5% chance of winning their division. They were 10 games back at one point at the end of July.
2.5%. Tell me there's a chance.
And now they are leading the division, and the Rangers are an absolute tire fire. So that series is going to be huge. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like, the Jays, if you're looking for positives, and there certainly are some, like, the contribution from the Bison boys has been
the Buffalo Bison might be better than the Blue Jays.
Yeah, I asked, on Twitter, how do they ever lose? And I know the answer is pitching, but also, like, you would think they're in AAA for a reason, these guys, but then they come up and it's like, whoa, why weren't they up the whole time?
I know, right?
And you just wonder, how long can this, like, magical carpet ride continue for?
Own it.
It's been amazing to watch. Like, mm-hmm. Which brings me to another thing here. Why was David Schneider not in the lineup
yesterday?
Honestly,
like, I don't know how we didn't fly down to Oakland and get our torches out around the stadium for this, like, reason.
I don't understand. Okay.
No, the reasoning was something about, I don't know.
A righty throws hard.
I'm just like, Corsi and hockey, it's the same. I'm just like, are they good or not?
Yeah, it's a righty who throws hard. He's had trouble with the high fastball, and he could use a day off. And if you're looking for a day off, that would be the time to do it. Blah, 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 blah.
This guy's your hottest hitter by a mile.
He's one of the hottest hitters in baseball.
In baseball. His nickname is Babe.
Yeah.
And you're sitting him on the bench. The guy's nicknamed after the greatest hitter to ever live, other than Shohei Ohtani. And literally, he's not in the lineup because the guy throws a high, fastball. What are we doing here?
No, I couldn't agree more.
Don't make things more difficult than they have to be. If someone is hot, keep them in the lineup at all costs. It doesn't always have to be about matchups. And there were so many times in big spots yesterday where I thought to myself, like, David Schneider would look really good here. I know he came on to pinch hit and ended up striking out.
That one sucked. It's like no one on. Was it two outs?
Yeah.
Hey, go like win the game for us. Yeah. Okay. Like,
it's like everyone's on the top step be like, oh, this guy's going to hit home right now. Well, he could have contributed if you just started him. Like, stop overthinking things here. Like, just – it shouldn't be that hard to get your best hitter in the lineup, especially – when you're dealing with the injuries that you're dealing with. Like your actual best hitter.
It's not like he's fighting with Bo Bichette for a lineup spot.
Exactly.
Like Bo's gone. You've got Matt Chapman gone. Danny Jansen. We got to get into that. That's a huge loss for the Blue Jays. So you had this trio of Bisons come up and it's been fun. Like I'm trying to remove my like heart from feeling the way and just look at it as a baseball person. But they have not only been like a really nice story to cheer for, and I know we kind of clutch onto those things, but they have seriously been, they don't win these games this weekend without this trio of Buffalo Bisons. Totally. Without Ernie Clement, without David Schneier, without Spencer Horwitz, they do not win all of the games that they won this weekend. And they could have won more. And yesterday was a tight one, and thank goodness they didn't win, they pulled it out. But between those three, the Blue Jays would be we'd be in a way worse spot. So they deserve a lot of credit and they're a nice story, right? It's like, you get the happiness of both. But I couldn't agree more. And Twitter could not have agreed more with, you go look at the quote graphic of the Blue Jays that post their lineup and it's like ratio. Where's David Schneider? And I know people love the story, but he truly is a impactful player right now on this roster. I know they ended up getting a win and some other people came up clutch. Santiago Espinal has been we also owe Santiago Espinal a little bit of an apology if he continues this because he's looked pretty good over the last stretch. But you're relying on, oh, there's a fight going on. Oh, no, they're cheering. Are they fighting or cheering? I just looked at the TV and I saw like a big brawl.
No, they're definitely cheering.
I was like, what's going on, Jesse? You're going to play a fight on the TV. Nonetheless, these guys have really been instrumental this last weekend and they just ride the hot hand. I know it's not the most glamorous lineup when you look at who's supporting you when you're on the
pitch. Totally.
Like, Kevin Gausman's like, this is who I have behind me, but who cares? Like they're good. Like keep them up, keep them going.
No, they're doing what they have to do. The offense, how much time have we spent talking about how bad the offense has been all year?
A lot, Jesse.
Like, a lot of oxygen has been spent talking about the Blue Jays offense. They have 40 runs in 5 games. And this stat, I think, will blow a lot of people's minds, okay? The Blue Jays lead the major leagues with a .337 average with runners in scoring position in the last month.
Oh, what?
Is that not insane?
If you asked me to
August
pick
3rd,
5 teams... That stat was, I would never have picked the Blue Jays.
They're all the way up to 13th in the major leagues on the year. Like, they spent the majority of the season in 27th with runners in scoring position. They were, like, mirroring the Raptors' shooting numbers. And next thing you know, like, they're scoring runs at a ridiculous pace.
I mean, it definitely helped that you're in Colorado. And Justin and I did talk about this going into the weekend where I was like, this is the weekend where maybe you can unlock something like hitter friendly, whatever. Maybe that gives you a little bit of a energy. You're at a ballpark where you could score where they get 12 runs one night. You got a couple of homers, but still like, yeah, maybe it's a good look into just getting points night. It's like when you're out there and you're playing some garbage team in hockey and you get a couple points, you feel good about yourself.
Well, that's the thing too. Like, everyone has these teams on the schedule.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of when you play them. And some teams happen to play the Rockies and the A's and the Royals in April. And we may have looked at those teams in April and May and said, that offense is really good without paying much attention to who they were playing. And the Blue Jays just happen to be playing their softest part of the schedule now, and they're taking advantage of it offensively. So I think when you're looking at the 162 games as a whole, I'm not sure this offense is ever going to be classified as elite by the end of the season. But I do think sometimes we don't take the entire year into consideration and the opponents, because ultimately this chunk is coming at a very important time and they're taking advantage of it.
I mean, it's so easy to get into a bit of a like a negative perspective when you look at the Blue Jays. They are certainly underperforming, but now it's wins are wins. They weren't pretty all the time this weekend, but they all count the same. And so you're finding something from each game that you're going to have to hold on hope. It was the Buffalo Bisons this past weekend. They weren't the most dominant of pitching performances for the Blue Jays. That has been the biggest point of confidence that I've felt all season long. All season long. It's like, we got the best rotation, the best bullpen in baseball, or top five, or top three. We talk to guests all the time that are outside this market, and they put the Blue Jays in top three. I'm happy with that. And it has been confidence, confidence, confidence. But they weren't the greatest of pitching performances this weekend. I mean, when Chad Green had his debut. No. I literally have been talking about, what does Chad Green look like? Is he ever going to play for the Blue Jays? And he gets in, he got rocked. And I was like, no, I've been waiting for this guy to come in and do something better.
They had to bring Romano in.
I was stunned, Jesse. I was so excited for him. I'm like, Chad Green, let's go, buddy. Like,
I know.
Win our hearts over. And then I'm like, what just happened? Like,
but it was the lowest leverage you could possibly have.
I know, and that was it. Like, put him in the lowest leverage ever. Let him, like, you know, put a jersey on for the first time. Oh my God, I thought this was the, you know, I got
in. He's been great since.
I got the negative down. Yeah. But I'm like, no, not Chad Green. Anyway, but yes, better since. I mean, there's no way it put up at that point. But yeah, the Blue Jays have had pitching working, offense not working. Mm-hmm. Offense working, pitching not working. No defense, no run support. So, like, let's put the puzzle pieces together. Keep the Bisons on the roster. Like, the Bisons are the MVPs of this weekend. And, I mean, you got two more opportunities. You got another opportunity today against Oakland Athletics, 9:40 start time. Buddy, yeah, welcome to the morning
it's
show.
Tough for us. That's okay.
And you can do it two ways. You can watch it live, or you can PVR, shout out Rogers, and watch it and fast forward through spots like
Blue Jays in 30.
You can do Blue Jays in 30. You can PVR, or you can watch it live.
I'll probably watch it live.
I watch it live.
Just grind through it.
Yeah. Just take a nap today.
I'm doing this for about a week and a half.
You're fine.
Yeah.
I mean,
power through.
9:40, they gave you an extra 30 minutes. Sometimes they're 10-10 starts.
Yeah. I mean, I'll take it. And all I ask is that it's a win.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm going to stay up and sacrifice like, all the 3 hours of sleep.
But also sometimes it's like, if they're down like 6-0 in the second, you're like, well, see you in the morning.
That's true.
But then you're like, you look up and you're like, wait, how did they win that one?
Well, yeah, the way the offense is humming now, they might actually come back there. can we talk about one other thing with the Blue Jays and Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is like the craziest lightning rod that I can remember.
It's like a weather vane.
Do you honestly, like, I don't remember a Blue Jays player that, like, he's not great. He's not having a great year. There's no question about it. And the expectations for, you know, the 2021 season, I think that ship might have sailed. He might not be that guy anymore.
People are like, he was never that guy, Jesse.
Yeah.
just the name on the back of the jersey, Jesse.
And I understand the not running on the base hit and almost getting tagged out at second. I get all that. But what is torching this guy accomplish? Like, what does that do? Like, he's not bad. Mm. He's batting .268. He's going to finish with 25 home runs and 95 RBI.
He's good.
Yeah, he's good. He's not what you thought he was going to be, which I understand is why there's some frustration. Mm-hmm. And again, I understand the effort thing. That can certainly be criticized. But it's like, even when the guy has a good day, now we've gotten to the point where he gets carved for something. And like yesterday,
well, for me, lack of effort, I'll carve you forever. If you can't run out of the box hard, and those are the little things, like, you learn that at T-ball. Like, there are people that are taking their kiddos to learn baseball this weekend, or they played this weekend, and what's the first thing? Come on, run hard, run it out. Like, you're a toddler. You can do this. I will always hold you accountable for lack of effort. So, like, that's, for me, inexcusable. But you're right. There's always, it feels like something. And I think people have just picked, this is going to be their story.
This is the guy.
This is their story. This is their thing this year. You could have easily been talking the same way about Matt Chapman, even more about Matt Chapman. He had the best month of, like, anybody in baseball
to
start the season.
He's fifth in the league in strikeouts.
And he is now one of the, like, he's had the fall from grace. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there's been many, many people underachieving, but it's because it's Vladdy. It's because we've had high expectations that he's going to be in the MVP conversation every year. And we saw that beautiful 2021 where it was like, oh my God, this guy is generational. And I, that's why people are upset. And I totally get it. I think it's justified. And I go through those range of emotions as well. But you're right. Like, what is it achieving? I know last week, I think there was like a, I don't know, a Twitter thread where people were like, let's applaud Vladdy every time he gets to the plate when he's at home and like,
yeah,
and like cheer him on. I'm like, I don't know. Like I'm not into like, you know, booing a guy or like fake cheering. What is that called? The Bronx cheer. Like, yeah. I'm like, yeah, just like whatever. But if you have those feelings about Vladdy, justified, you can literally send me stats of why you feel that way. And I would understand it. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I'm just like wasted energy for me. It's like, just focus on David Schneider and the good that we have with this team. But I think, you know, you see the range of responses online about trade him. Like, I don't want him to part of this team anymore. I think he's really mailing it in. Doesn't look like he cares anymore. It's like, it's hard to make those, like, those connections. Like, we don't know what's going on.
We're not in the
clubhouse. He must
be
injured.
Yet.
I'm like, oh, maybe he is injured. Like, I don't know. I can't get into Vladimir Guerrero's head. Vladimir Guerrero Jr.'s head. But I can say, if there's lack of effort, if there's lack of attention to detail, if you're swinging at every pitch and it's like the same result over and over and over and over and over again, that for me is super frustrating and I expect more. But, you know, there are guys in this league, superstars in this league, that have turned it on for a month stretch. Like, look what J-Rod's doing. We're going to ask our guest, Alana, at 7 about this. But Royce Lewis, this Twins rookie superstar, 3 grand slams in 8 game span. Like, it can happen. You can turn it on. So I'm like, Vladdy could be there. He could be on the cusp, or he could just have the rest of this disappointing series season.
Yeah. I mean, that's why you need to have him in the lineup. Like, there's so many people that say like, oh, you see that lack of effort and you need to bench him, right? Or you need to knock him down in the lineup.
Okay, but for the knock it down in the lineup thing, I do wonder, because last year, remember when Bo got demoted? And he's like, he was batting 6. This year, George Springer got demoted. And he was leadoff, and then he wasn't. Okay, I don't think Vladdy's been held to the same level of like accountability. I'll say that. But I'm also not a lineup specialist, and maybe that's the spot he needs to be in. But it isn't working at times.
No, I think that's definitely fair. What I will say to that is we don't know these guys on an personal level.
Well, let's get them on the show
as much as they do. And I wonder if there's different strategies in how you handle people. I don't think I'm making, an excuse for John Schneider, but I do think that guys handle different things differently. And if you're looking
emotionally?
Yeah. And I feel like if you're looking for Vladimir Guerrero Jr. to get hot, which I think would be the absolute best case scenario, you want to put him in positions to succeed. Maybe it's a big hit with a couple of guys on that really sparks him, and that's going to make the difference between him turning it on in September. Like, I don't think I can underscore how important a hot Vladimir Guerrero Jr. would be,
one of the most important things.
Right. So if you end up benching him, you're taking away valuable at-bats. While it might not look like he's going to be able to dig himself out of it, you never know when something might actually click. And few guys have the potential that this guy does. So if you're sitting him on the bench or you're knocking him down to 6 in the lineup, you don't know how that's going to affect him and affect the potential or possibility that he gets hot. So,
but you also haven't seen, like, sometimes you have like a card, you can play a card, you got a bullet in your pocket. That doesn't make sense. Like we talked about, like, okay, you fire your coach, that's a bullet.
Bullet in the holster.
Yeah. And not in your pocket, I hope. Yeah. You got a card in your pocket, but a bullet in the holster. But like, you haven't really seen what Vladimir Guerrero Jr., how he would respond if you did move him down or you did bench him. I mean, I don't know if we're at the point of like trying dramatic things to get a result, but you did see how, I think, Bo responded well to that last year. Maybe George Springer, not as like vibrant of a response, but he's back in that spot. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if they go on a really poor stretch here and you lose the Oakland Athletics 2 games, you play, oh God, another bad team in the Kansas City Royals, and he's just not able to capitalize on poor, poor opponents, and maybe that's where you get it. But I mean, it goes, you're right, it goes both ways about knowing your players, about that's how you coach.
He definitely has like high profile outs, it feels like.
Like, it's like the
double plays are really
on.
Bad. Like, he's tied for the most amount of double plays hit by a player before the age of 25.
Oh, God.
Like, that's not a great stat that you want to have.
Ever?
Yeah. So, that's not great.
A lot of players that have been under the age of 25.
That's not great. But, you know, when I think about the Jays fans and how they approach Vladdy, like, I think back to, I think it was the National Series where David Schneider came up with the bases loaded, and it was like,
electricity in the air.
I was like, he's going to hit a grand slam and win this game. And everybody then right afterwards, who was up?
Vladdy. And everyone was like asleep.
No, I felt like the opposite level of confidence.
Right. Like, it honestly went from a wild atmosphere in there to, the guy that we're supposed to like pin our entire franchise's hopes on is coming at the plate with the bases loaded and we should all be sad about it. And I believe me, I get it, because he's not what he used to be. That is incredibly frustrating. But also, there aren't that many guys that are capable of what he can do.
Yeah.
So that's, you're going to need him to get going. And he's got four hits in his last six at bats. Like, maybe there's something coming
here. This is the stretch that he's got to find it. Like, there's no more leeway. There's no more rope. This is it. Like, this is all eyes on you. And maybe there's some pressure, but man, you're going to be a generational talent. You got the name on the back. You want to live up to, not just be a guy that has a family pedigree. You don't want to just be known for 1 year. This is when you do it. Blue Jays will be back tonight. As we said, a late, late start, 9:30. You can catch it on Sportsnet and Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Woof. But we got Chris Bassitt, speaking of Woof, the hound, on the mound tonight. That was good, eh? Damn.
That's exceptional.
Let's take a break. We got lots of time to tee up the Blue Jays for the rest of the show. But we got the A-list on the other side.
Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Now it's time for the A-list.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
What's up, baby?
All right, NFL in 2 days. So a lot of people this weekend were finishing up fantasy football drafts, right? They're getting, and I know you were doing one last night at 9 p.m.
It was a late one. It was a late one, but
success?
Man, what a feeling.
Yeah.
I think so.
Okay, so I'm in only one league this year, and it's one of our Sportsnet squads. Danielle is in it. Justin's in it. Producer Austin Mackey's in it. And a couple characters are also in this. And last year was a tough one for me. I was in last for most of the year. And in the final week, won the matchup that moved me from last to second last. So it was important. I couldn't end up last. I was very happy with that. This year, I'm drafting second. Okay. I won the second overall pick in the horse races. Long story. So we do the draft, and I feel really great about my team, okay? And I can read you some players.
Hold on, one QB or two QB?
Two QB.
Love it.
Flex,
that's
whatever.
That's the only way to play.
This is a lot of things.
Yeah.
But we're using Yahoo for draft, and they give you a draft summary afterwards, like a report card. So I get it in my email. I'm like, here we go. And I got a D.
Doesn't mean anything.
I know, but let me read you the recap. First of all, it still says my old name, which was Herb Your Enthusiasm, because I had Justin Herbert last year. So just keep in mind, like, my name has changed to Van Jalen.
Very good.
Okay. Like, Justin Jalen Hurts. So this is what they to say about me. So I want to say it now. So then at the end of this year, when I win or I come, at least get to go to the playoffs, I can remember this moment. Okay. In the Sportsnet 590, the Fan Fantasy Draft, Herb Your Enthusiasm had the privilege of picking second. But unfortunately, their draft grade of D suggests they may have been a bit too relaxed. With a projected record of 3-11 and a projected finish of 8th out of 10 teams, it seems like Herb Your Enthusiasm might need some extra herbs to spice up their team. Screw you. Despite the tough schedule ahead, they managed to snag Ramondre Stevenson at 42, which is a solid pick considering his ADP of 31. First of all, the rankings are off because it didn't realize, like, we'll talk about it. However, their worst pick was Anthony Richardson at 39, who had an ADP of 119. Nah, but it was a two quarterback thing. You had to take him, so they don't understand.
They're not paying attention.
Looks like Herb Your Enthusiasm has been too enthusiastic about this one. Anyway, they go on and they roast me for my roster, and I just needed to hold them accountable here on September 5th that when I don't finish 8th and I have a better than 3-11 record and I'm not a D grade, this first day of school, I can't be having Ds.
That's a very good point.
Everything will be better. I got Jalen Hurts at number 2. I think Justin Jefferson went 1.
Amazing pick.
Yeah. Do you want to hear my roster?
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, let me just pull it up. Like, I'm rattled. I went Jalen Hurts 2, Tony Pollard.
Love him. Fat him last
Garrett
3
Wilson.
Years. Most frustrating thing
those
ever.
Are like top 3 players in the league
Love
right now.
Garrett
Jalen
Wilson.
Hurts, Tony Pollard, Garrett Wilson, Anthony Richardson, Ramondre Stevenson, Darren Waller, Mike Williams, Deontay Johnson, David Montgomery, Jaxon Smith, Njigba, Jerry Jeudy, Samaje Perine, Sky Moore, Derek Carr, Roschon Johnson, and Pittsburgh defense.
I think it's a great team.
It's a great team. It's not a D-worthy team. It's at least a B team. So I'm going to remember this moment.
Keep the receipts.
I'm keeping the receipts, and they're verbal radio receipts at this point, so I'll be back.
Yeah. Now, there's something obviously up here because Anthony Richardson is not, you did not reach for him in a 2QB league. So I don't think they just obviously don't understand. I mean, all of these recaps are ChatGPT generated.
It was hilarious.
Which is
ChatGPT, like that was someone's job.
You just made me want to go check mine.
Did you do well?
I got an A.
Get out of here. No, you did not.
Yeah, I did.
From my last
teammate,
night?
I haven't changed my
team
name.
You got an A+?
Yeah, I haven't changed my team name. It was Sky is the Limit for Sky Moore.
Yeah, Sky Moore, I have him.
In a fiercely competitive league known as Barb's Peanut Butter Cookies, Sky is the Limit proof that they have no limits when it comes to drafting.
Gosh,
so we're at opposite
up.
Ends of the spectrum. But like, I actually think that's a bad thing for me. Because how often does a team who drafts well, supposedly, according to ChatGPT, actually end up winning? Like, it's often, you know, the savviest general manager. So I think that, honestly, for you, the sky is the limit.
I love that. Thank you.
Yeah.
And I played Justin week one. And he's not here, so we can just rip him all week, all weekend.
What is his grade?
Better than mine. He got a B+, I believe. So I'm not feeling super great about that. But whatever, we'll see. We'll see early on how the matchup goes. Sho Ali got an A+.
I mean, Sho is the man. I have to give it to Sho.
And producer Daniele got an A-. So
that's the least surprising thing I've ever heard.
Out of everybody that works here, I got a D.
Daniele gives us like 15 pages
no,
worth
he
of
was
notes.
Ready. He's the commissioner.
Yeah, I literally could not be less surprised that Daniele got an A.
We'll see. Daniele came, I believe, low end of the.
I wish you a lot of luck in that.
Rankings last year, so.
Oh, yeah? Like
Daniele?
Like last?
Yeah, maybe. Am I correct? Give me a thumbs up.
What happened?
He came last.
What
I remember beating him at the end.
Injuries?
I jumped above.
Nod your head if it was injuries.
It was probably injuries. Just the luck of the draw.
Yeah.
So anyway, Daniele gets an A-, so I got a D. We'll see how this year goes. Anyway, just I wanted to hold them.
That's excellent. No, that's fun. And I think you're going to be okay.
Van Jalen all the way.
Hasn't started yet.
Big week away. Big week ahead here with Justin. He can't. I don't even know if he's going to set his lineup. So that could be a win.
What's your process like for Sunday? Like, I know we gotta wake up like relatively early Monday, so Sunday nighter might be tough. But
I haven't even thought ahead. I don't care. It's football. I'll grind.
Yeah, but are you like sitting on the couch for 12 hours?
Oh yeah, like, definitely. Yeah. I won't move. I'm going to take my Apple Watch off because it's going to be like shut up and stand up, and I'm gonna be like, I'm not.
Yeah, no, you don't need that on Sunday for sure.
No.
You're a Bills fan, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're okay with how things are looking? It's going to be tough. Division's tough.
We got a week to prep, okay?
Yeah,
okay, a week.
Fine.
Alana Rizzo, after the break, host of High Heat on MLB Network. We'll go through how this Blue Jays team looks from a national perspective, but also University of Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
Man, they had a huge weekend, and she went there. So we'll chat about that first. That's next.